When we come back, we'll hear about a handful of people in Missouri who still speak Missouri French. Yes, you heard that right. I just said Missouri French. I'm Gina Kaufman, Central Standard. We'll be back in a few. Good morning and welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Gina Kaufman. Joining me by phone is Dennis Stromat. He's a Missouri fiddler. When he was a student at Southwest Missouri State in the 1990s, a folklore professor's passing reference to a little-known French dialect in Missouri inspired him to search for people who still spoke the language. Hi, Dennis. How's it going?
Good. Doing good. How are you?
Great. So tell me more about your initial decision to go seeking out the last vestiges of that old Missouri French. What piqued your curiosity?
Well, actually, I'm from Southern Illinois, and I live in Southern Illinois. And growing up near Vincennes, Indiana, which is also a French community, they used to have 12th night balls and rendezvous. In fact, the rendezvous still continue today. But back in the 70s, I remember all these things as a kid, some of the events, you know, that were going on in the area, some of the old French events. But no one spoke French. And probably at around the age of about 14 or 15, I ended up traveling over to St. Genevieve, Missouri, and seeing some of the homes in St. Genevieve, because the largest number of French Creole-style homes, architecture, is actually in the state of Missouri. Not in Canada, not in Louisiana. The largest number are in the state of Missouri, and especially in St. Genevieve.
Interesting.
And I thought this was wonderful, and the beautiful homes, but my question was, well, we've got this great architecture, but what happened to the culture?
Yeah.
People lived in these homes. People built these homes. Did they just vanish? Did the French families vanish? I mean, there were, you know, when you read a history book, you know, the history of the French in our area, Southern Illinois, Southern Indiana, Southeast Missouri, is a blip in a lot of ways. In fact, even during the bicentennial of the Lewis and Clark expedition, some years ago, it was only a major discussion about what the Virginians did coming into this area, you know, and traveling up the Missouri River, you know. But there was very little mention of the fact that the greatest majority of the people on the Corps of Discovery were actually French Creoles from Southern Illinois and Missouri. They also failed to mention, you know, in many of the histories that you read, that a lot of the original charts and maps that Lewis and Clark used were actually maps that had been charted by the French cartographers 60 years before.
And so when you were noticing, that architecture, you were noticing a really very apparent kind of remain of that history, but the language thing was a little more under the surface, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's all these bits of history that are there, but you don't see anything about the language. It's what's happened. Where is it? And at Southeast Missouri State University in Cape Girardeau, I was talking with a professor, and I was talking about the architecture. We were talking about the history, and I just made some kind of offhand comment. I had only been on campus for 4 days, and I just made some kind of offhand comment that, well, I guess it's too bad that the language completely disappeared. And he kind of laughed and he said, no, I don't think that's right. He said, I don't think the language is gone. He said, there's kind of a myth, but that, you know, he said, and who knows, he said, whether or not it's totally true or not. He said, I don't think anyone knows specifically, you know, he said, in academia anyway, of whether people or not, you know, people still speak French in the old mines area. He said, you know, there's this myth that people in the area used party line phone systems in the 60s and 70s. And the party line, if you're familiar with that, maybe some of the listeners.
I am familiar from a great Sesame Street sketch about this very subject, but
okay.
Go on.
Well, some people will know that essentially on a party line, several houses might be connected on the same phone line, and you would get different rings to know when to pick up your conversation. But other people could listen in. And this professor of mine, Dr. Nickel, told me that he had heard the story that the people would use French in the area to keep others out of their conversation. And, you know, and that was one of the things that, you know, kept it alive. And we sort of had a big laugh about it, but it really piqued my interest. And I was really like, wow, could there actually be, you know, a language still living? And this was back in 1990.
Did you go straight to old mines, or did you have to go on a bit of a wild goose chase?
Well, there was kind of a goose chase. Yeah. I went to Potosi first and stopped at a gas station, and I talked to a guy at a gas station, and I decided I'd just go up there. It was Labor Day weekend, and I figured I had the time. I would go up and just mill about and see what I could find. I stopped at a gas station. I asked a gentleman there, you know, if he knew any French people, and he kind of looked at me strangely, and I told him that I was a student out in Cape Girardeau, and so he, all of a sudden, he already knew that there was something weird about me, and he was like, well, yeah, I'm French. He's like, my family's French. People in my family speak some French. And I was like, well, do you speak any French? And he's like, no, I don't speak any French. And he's like, but if you keep going up, you know, go up Route 21 up into Old Mines. He said, you might stop up there. He said, there might be, you know, some people there that, you know, could help you. So I drove on up into Old Mines, and I stopped at a little, it was kind of a little pantry grocery store in the middle of town near the KC Hall. And I stopped in there, and I asked a lady, you know, I told her who I was, where I was from, and I asked her if she spoke any French or knew any French, and she actually kind of looked at me funny, and she said, yeah, I speak a little French. And I said, well, that's great, I do too. I said, I took some French in college. Well, I had taken one semester, and I got like a C in it.
So you knew bonjour.
Yeah, exactly. But I told her, you know, that the school part, and then she just clammed up. And she said, no, I won't speak with you because you don't speak real French.
Whoa.
And I was like, real French? And she was like, yeah, you know, school French. She said, that's not our French. I didn't understand that there was a difference.
What is the difference?
Well, there is a huge difference, actually. Dialect is different. Some word choices are different. You know, vocabulary, syntax, or verb grammar are somewhat different. It's all understandable, even if you speak standard French. You can understand, if you listen really closely to Missouri and Illinois French, you can understand. And I say Missouri and Illinois French because Old Mines French, as a lot of people call it, is just Missouri and Illinois French. It's not just Old Mines French. This was a French language that was very much alive in Prairie du Rocher, Illinois, and Cahokia, Illinois, Kaskaskia, Illinois, Vincennes, Indiana. This whole area, you know, at one time. So that's why I call it, you know, essentially Illinois French.
How did it happen to survive in Old Mines for so much longer than in other places? Did this community exist in isolation? Is that the explanation?
Yes. And that is a big part of it. And a lot of that was because of the lead mining industry. Lead mining, it's very much on the eastern edge of the Ozarks. It's very hilly. It's very rough terrain. And there wasn't a great deal of public road access into the area, you know, until the early 20th century. And this would give, and not only that, but I mean, this would give, you know, essentially a buffer. And not only that, but because there was such a massively large population of French in the area, see, what would happen is when the Americans came into Vincennes, many of the French families left. Many stayed, but a lot of Anglos came into Vincennes. Some, you know, Anglos started pouring into southern Illinois in the early 1800s, you know, late 1800s or late 1700s. And this would push a lot of French families over the Mississippi River into Missouri. And many of them ended up going to Old Mines because it was a very active mining community, very many small communities in such a, you know, vast internal area, you might say. I mean, you know, anywhere from Herculaneum and Infestus, Missouri, all the way down to Fredericktown, you have this entire area of French settlements on either side of what is now Route 21.
Well,
going towards Route 67.
Dennis, in a second, we're going to bring on a second guest. But before we turn to Mary Norbit, I want to know whether you are aware of any efforts to preserve Missouri French before your arrival.
Oh, yes. Yeah, there had been. I mean, when I came, I thought, you know, this was something that I had discovered this. And, you know, and it is kind of funny because through the years, there have been rediscoveries about every other year. You know, a new person rediscovering the fact that the language still exists. But Missouri Friends of the Folk Arts had done work in the 70s. Not only that, but even in the 1930s, a gentleman named Joseph Medard Carrière, who was a professor from the University of Chicago, who was also Canadian, did a great deal of work in the area doing recordings and actually writing down the language. Ward Dorrance was another person who did that. Rosemary Hyde Thomas was someone who in the early 80s did work. So there's actually been a great deal of work and documentation of the language.
Well, let's turn now to Mary Norbit. I do want to let our listeners know that they are listening to Central Standard on KCUR 89.3 FM. I'm Gina Kaufman, and that we are talking about a little-known dialect of French spoken in Missouri. And let's turn now to Mary Norbit. She's on the historical board in Old Mines, where that language is spoken. Hi, Mary.
Good morning.
What's your relationship with the French dialect spoken there? Did anyone in your family speak it?
Yes, my mother and her family all spoke it. Frequently, she would get together with her cousins, and they would just go on and on and on. It was very interesting to sit and watch and listen to them talk. The longer they talked, the louder they got, and the faster they'd go. It was funny to us children because we didn't understand what they were saying.
So you didn't learn it? It wasn't like the language of the home?
No. Back in the 1930s, the governor of the state of Missouri had issued passed a bill in the state that French was not to be spoken in the homes. They did not want the children to learn French because the English school teachers were having too difficult of a time with the French students. So my father was a strict adherence to the law, and so we were not allowed to learn the French language. And so he didn't speak French. He understood it, but he would never speak French either. So it was kind of lost in our family that way. But my mother was very fluent in the French. She sang songs that Dennis knows. So it's very interesting how he's been able to carry on with the languages and the songs that the people in the French area sang all the time.
I do want to turn back to Dennis in a second, but can you tell me more about the songs? What has been their role in the Old Mines community? I think it's interesting that part of the way that this language is still documentable is through the music.
Dennis has been a very, very important instrument in that and carrying it on. Every year, our historical society has a autumn fest, the first Sunday of October every year, in the Old Mines area, the little village of Fertile. And Dennis comes every year and plays these songs and sings them for the people and always gives credit to whoever taught him the songs. There was a number of them, and we are so grateful to him for all he has done for our area.
Dennis, I've heard you described as an adopted son of Old Mines. Can you talk more about your relationship with the people of Old Mines? What was going on in your own life when you headed down there?
Well, you know, when I first went to Old Mines, like I say, it was really out of curiosity more than anything. But what happened was I was eventually led to the parish workers in Fertile, and they would introduce me. And there were several ladies out there actually out on the porch the day I went, and it was that day that I actually first heard the language, and I was so fascinated. I wanted to know more, and so I was able to get myself invited to some house parties, and I literally just started going every weekend, staying with different people, sleeping on floors if I had to, and sort of took up with a gentleman named Roy Bouyer, who kind of felt sorry for me. I was trying to learn how to play fiddle, and I just wanted to learn how to play any kind of fiddle. And he lived in Cadet, and he was a barber, and he invited me over to his place, and I started going and visiting with him a lot. And in fact, he would even teach me tunes. I would sometimes have to spend whole days, but he would teach me tunes between haircuts and just to learn songs. And via that and spending a lot of time with different singers, and in fact, Miss Annie Paggi, Mary's mother, I mean, she was just a great, great singer and was so knowledgeable about the language. And I got to spend a lot of time with her, others like Ida Portell, Marguerite Portell Polite, and Robert Robart. These were different individuals who were just so knowledgeable about the language, knowing stories, knowing songs. And I guess in a lot of ways, maybe they got a kick out of the fact that I was just so interested. And I just really wanted to know these songs. I wanted to know these stories. And, well, when you work in the language, eventually what happens is, well, you begin to understand it.
So as you learned really the songs, you started understanding the language.
Yeah, I started understanding the language, but then I was talking to a lot of these people in French, too. And in some cases, they would sort of play with me and use me as kind of a guinea pig. They, you know, if I was at their house and I would want to eat, you know, they would make me ask for it in French. And, you know, and so other, so if I didn't ask, I didn't get to eat. And so I learned, you know, how to say spoon, le cuillère, you know, fourchette, you know, assiette, you know, and I started learning all these different things. And eventually you're putting full sentences together, having conversations. And all of a sudden, you know, after 2 to 3 years, there's this realization that I speak this language and that I can work within this language. And I guess through that, I really kind of became my second home.
Do you have
a lot of ways? And, go ahead.
Oh, I was just wondering if you have a favorite phrase in Missouri French.
Oh, I don't know if I have one, but something that I'm used to saying when I see people, you know, in old minds, you know, comme c'est ça va, you know, comme c'est ça va, which means, hey, how's it going, you know, which is different than, you know, standard French.
Yeah, they just say ça va.
Yeah, ça va, or comment allez-vous, you know, but in old minds, I mean, as a Missouri, Illinois French, it's, hey, comme c'est ça va. And, of course, the answer is hopefully, ça va bien, toi, you know, and it means it's going good. How about you, you know? And so, you know, just things like that, you know, I get a real warm feeling, you know, about the language and, you know, about the music and the people, you know.
Mary, when you hear about this and about how your mother being one of these people who taught Dennis how to sing the songs of this region, what do you, is the eventual demise of this language something that you see as just an inevitability, or are people like Dennis, do they give you hope that maybe this will survive?
Well, we're hoping it survives. Our historical society has a booklet that Rosemary Hyde Thomas put together of the lessons that they used to teach in the French classes that they tried to reenact there in the Old Mines area. And these booklets are available for anyone to purchase, and we have been selling a numerous amount of those. And we're hoping through that people will pick it up and start it back up again.
Dennis?
It's very interesting that there's such few people still left that even can speak the language.
Dennis, do you still perform the songs regularly that you learned in Old Mines?
Oh yeah, quite a bit. You know, it was kind of one of those things that just sort of snowballed. I didn't, you know, I learned the tunes just because I enjoyed them. I never knew anybody would want to hear them. You know, not anything against the songs, but I never knew that there would be a demand out there for people really wanting to hear these songs. And I find myself playing all over the United States. And I've performed at the Library of Congress, at the Kennedy Center doing these songs. I get an opportunity to do these tunes at least, you know, 5-6 times a month. You know, getting to play in Old Mines too, you know, once or twice a year. And I still go over and do some bouillon parties, some house parties, and when I get a chance to play. And
hey, Dennis.
You know, but,
Dennis,
but I get to play all over.
How do you say our time is up in Missouri French?
Yeah, c'est tout fini.
All right. Well, our time is up, or as they might say in Old Mines, c'est tout fini. It's been fun exploring language, both Kazakh and French, today on Central Standard. Mary Norbit and Dennis Stromat, thanks so much for your time. And have a very happy Bastille Day, Kansas City. May you all be free of tyranny. Cake is a bonus. To listen back to today's show or any past conversations on Central Standard, go to kcur.org/centralstandard. You can also follow us on Twitter. Our handle is @KCURCST. Tomorrow, tune in to hear about how changing transparency laws could change investigative journalism in our area. We'll also talk with the directors of Citizen Coke. Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton and Sylvia Maria Gross. I'm Gina Kaufman, and that is it for today. Stick around for Up to Date.